Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to the show. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But we're going to be expanding that this morning. How is that going to be done? Well, you're going to find out that you are worth more than you realize. But our guest today, Soul Dancer, is going to share with us how you can say it, mean it, and get it. Does that sound intriguing? I think you're going to enjoy meeting my guest today. His name is Soul Dancer. When he answers the phone, he says, "Hello, this is Soul." So you know we're going to have a unique interview that I think is going to give you some substance that you can add to your life. Soul Dancer, welcome to the show.
Aloha. Mahalo for having me on your airwaves.
Thank you. Now, you're not in the Hawaiian Islands, but you have a unique background. This is something that when I saw you at the National Publicity Summit in New York, I asked you this question. How did you get your name, Soul Dancer? Most people, when they would hear that, would go off in a mental direction that would have nothing to do in association with this being a person's name. In fact, I had someone say to me this morning, "Oh, is that the name of the person's book?" I said, "No, that is the person's name." They went, "Oh," they didn't know what to do with that. Tell us a little bit of history about your name.
I wish I had a juicy story to tell you, Donna. I really do. But this is one of those teachable moments where I ask those listening in, have you ever been curious? Did you ever ask your parents why they named you your name? Because that is what my parents named me.
Mm-hmm.
And
why did they?
That's a good question. My mother, traditional German Czech background, Catholic, right? You would think it would be a traditional name. And she just said, well, at the time you were born, the goal of my mom for all of her life, bless her soul, dearly departed now, was to get a priest or nun out of one of her kids. I'm the youngest of nine.
The youngest of how many?
Nine. I was an uncle before I was conceived, Donna.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my.
So, needless to say, all of my life, people are like, what? So, for a lot of people, I just say, what's your name? It's SD. And like, okay, well, that's fine. They'll just call me SD. And that seems to go over much easier. But the name, she sensed that I would have some spiritual calling. And indeed, I have. I am, in essence, a monk in three orders, a shaman in four traditions. This is on top of having a master's in social work. And I've just mixed together this robust pool of insights about how do we tick, what makes us tick, and what really gets us ticking.
Mm-hmm. Your book, Pay Me What I'm Worth, and I love it because it's a bright yellow cover with red dots on it, which those are two of my favorite colors, a workbook to help you say it, mean it, and get it. When I was going through your material, and then your background, you've given us a little bit of that. You've been very much involved in teaching. You've been in 30-plus countries doing the same. You really, really have a passion for what you do. Now, in our culture, in our American mentality, in the Western mentality, let me expand it, money many times is considered as a god. Well, money is only a tool as far as I'm concerned. It's going to enable you to do some of the things that you want. In and of itself, it's inert, and it's only worth what value is ever attached to it by whatever environment it's coming through. But you're going to a different level with this. Instead of just saying, well, think positive, you're wanting to work with people so that they're able to get at the core, the essence of what they need to do. And I love that you start off with Irma Brombeck. I just think this woman was just, She gave so many gifts to life. She's absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
And she said, there are people who put their dreams in a little box and say, yes, I've got dreams. Of course I've got dreams. Then they put the box away and bring it out once in a while to look at it, and yep, they're still there. How did you learn to go to for your dream? And what was your big dream when you started this journey that has taken you through so many different levels of understanding?
Oh, wow. It's only an hour? Okay, let me think this
through. We have a half hour.
Okay. The short version is I would be dead if I had followed my original path, plain and simple.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in my early to late 20s, early 30s, I had what everyone thought was the just dream life. I mean, from all external appearances, like you mentioned earlier, the money sort of thing. I mean, plenty of money, lots of travel. Also got to be almost 325 pounds.
Oy gavels.
Yeah. You know, when you're only 5'7", and you're topping out at a 64 waist size, this just doesn't add up, right?
No kidding.
So a little voice inside of me said, you know, this is all well and good, but keep it up, and this isn't really going to go a long way. And I started getting out of my way. I started recognizing I no longer wanted to be part of the 40-40 club. Have you heard that term before, Donna?
The 40-40 club? I think I've heard a lot of terms, but that's a new one for me.
I bet you know one or two people, and I bet listeners know one or two people in the 40-40 club. To qualify for the 40-40 club, you need to work 40 hours or more a week for 40 more or more years of your life and pray you're going to have the health and the money to have a life afterwards.
Oh, gee, yes, I think we all can relate to someone that is in that 40-40 category. Gee, that's a new little tidbit to add to my educational trick box.
So I wanted out. I wanted out of the 40-40 club before it was too late, because part of my master's in social work was working with people living with HIV and AIDS, and I watched very wealthy people die very young. And I realized, you know, it doesn't really matter what disease might catch us in the long run. There's this disease mentality that I'm not worth something, therefore I'm going to settle for something, and that kickstarted the whole book.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a counselor and having interacted with thousands of people through the years, I can relate to what you're saying. And I can relate on a personal level as well as a professional level. And it is a very hard nut to break because we're inundated with so much propaganda. So your workbook, Pay Me What I'm Worth, is very down to earth. It is very practical and very informative. And you are not just thanking it, the individual that would choose to use this. You really have to participate. And this is what you demand. You demand that level of personal accountability and responsibility. And this isn't bashing time. You're going to find out more, folks. Let's talk about a segment in your book, because you've got so much in it. I'm going to try to extrapolate certain portions. The Long Lost Treasure Hunt. That's one of your exercises. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that is. And what is the treasure?
Treasure. Those listening in, what do you treasure? Right now, I want to make this preface that, let's say tomorrow you get the results back from a test, and your doctor says, guess what, Donna? All practical realities, you've got 3 months. However, I think we have a cure, but it's going to cost basically everything you have. Which are you going to treasure more, your bank account or your health?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
and every day people have those kinds of challenges.
I want to start folks off with a reality check, your world, your physical world. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on the circumstances, we look at a person's value by what we see, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you wear, what you drive, where you live, what you're eating, blah, blah, blah. So the treasure hunt in the first chapter is going to establish the fact that even though you may have extraordinary things, you may have extraordinary stuff, it's only a fraction of your actual worth. It's time to put in perspective that regardless of what you have or don't have, what that physical stuff is a fraction of your overall picture of worth. And I'd like to have you get a sense of what are those things that you treasure more than your life. And I pray tell, there's nothing you treasure more than a happy, healthy life.
I agree. And also, many times it's added the time to enjoy it. And I think that we're going to get into that a little bit. I like your comment in your book when you state, when your awareness of self-worth deepens, it builds your awareness of the worth in others. When you honor the worth of others, you honor your own worth as well. What goes around comes around. If you don't value someone for what they're worth, don't be surprised if your worth is valued less as well. There is a section in your book where you say we need to inventory our skills every 12 to 15 years. This is something that I have recommended to people so many times because we go through phases in our life where we have become so much more skilled in certain ways, but we are doing it on a daily basis, and consciously we don't think it's a big deal. We don't think it's a big deal at all. And we don't give ourselves credit for the talents that we have. You have a wonderful exercise in doing an inventory on skills. And I thought, I really like this. This is marvelous. Tell us how you came to this evaluation process for the individual.
This one was born out of my work as a social worker. And I tend to get simplistic with life. Either there are facts or there are fictions. There's reality, there's dream. The reality is you might be an excellent chef, or you might be an excellent teacher, or you might be an excellent something. But if other people don't know that, then they're not going to value you for your expertise, right?
Mm-hmm. Very
so
true.
In this chapter, what we're looking at is, think of two paper plates. The more those two paper plates overlap, the more you're going to be paid what you're worth. There's the paper plate of you. There's the paper plate of what you think you have, your skills, your conscious awareness of who you are and what you think you are. And then there's the paper plate of not you, other people, the way they see you, the way they look at you, the way they critique you, judge you, so forth and so on. And so in this chapter, what I'm asking you to do is, how much do those two paper plates overlap? Meaning, if you think you have excellent skills in organizing and public speaking and so forth, but you ask 10 people to just tell you what your skills are, and all 10 people do not recognize the fact that you're a good organizer and good public speaking, there's an opportunity for you to then educate them about that. And the more they know about you, what do you think the byproduct will be?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, demonstrating it. If just using the example you gave, let's shift it a little bit. Let's say someone was a superb photographer. That was their hobby, their passion. They need to show people that they can do it. If someone's a speaker, they need to get up and demonstrate that they can do it. If they're good at organizing, go out and volunteer and do something. Again, I think so many times we take our strengths for granted, and we belittle ourselves about our weaknesses. How would you handle someone that you had a time to be around and you recognize their strengths, and they'll say, well, that's no big deal. How would you work with them, Soul Dancer?
First and foremost, I start looking at what is it you really, really, really want. I need to know whether or not the pilot light inside you is lit or not.
Aha.
If it's not lit, I'm not going to bother, because I can certainly help you light it, but if I'm having to help you light it time after time, Donna, how many clients have you had where all of a sudden you felt like you were a constant cheerleader?
Oh, that's happened more than once, yes.
My goal is for you to have such a strong pilot light inside that as soon as I point out the fact that you've got a good fire burning, you've got a good skill. Now, guess what? Let's really shine it. Let's show it. Are you interested in doing that? Yes or no? And There's so many people afraid of success out there that 9 out of 10, I get no.
The mind is a very fascinating factor in our lives, and we can sabotage ourselves so easily. And I think of a client that I was speaking with this week who is so encased in a drama. They have been playing this drama for over 60 years of their life. They're in their 80s now. And you have a comment in your book, the stories we create to blame others for whatever reason simply dissolve when we take a gentle, honest look at what we did to create whatever it is we choose or chose to do. We'll deal with past and present. Wow, that is so empowering once we can look at things that way. What is the drama, the story that we have evolved through? And if we don't like it, let's get rid of it. Let's replace the story. And you talk about a key life map, and this is part of what goes on in your book. I really like the interactive aspect of your book, Pay Me What I'm Worth. You have a worth passport. Tell us about that passport.
Worth passport, it's a summation. At the end of every chapter, one of the last things I would like you to consider as an exercise is sum up what happened to you in this chapter. I mean, overall, you can journal all you want, which I hope you do. The more you do, the more you're going to get out of it. But when it's all said and done, I'd like you to come up with a one-page summary. You can write it, you can sing it, you can paint it, you can draw it, whatever is important for you to capture what you got out of that chapter. At the end of the book, it's 10 chapters long, you're going to have 10 pages that robustly shine back to you like a beautiful mirror. Who are you? What do you have? And how are you using it? And how do you intend to use it? It's your passport to a much more fulfilling life.
You have some very down-to-earth, practical points of direction. I could use the word instruction, but I like the word direction myself. One of the segments in your book is for an individual to go to people that either they work with or maybe they're friends, could be members of family, and you ask them what positive points they see. And you then say something in your chapter that I was intrigued with. You say you want people to seek out individuals they can interview and journal answers that are given to them to these following questions. What do I love doing? Why do I love doing it? How else could I do what I love doing? Who else did or does what I love or would love to do? And the individual should do that for themselves first. And then you say, you want to talk to other people that you really respect and admire. And I love what you did here. You give people three resources to utilize. The Yellow Pages, go to a local university or community college, outline keyword search for clubs, associations, volunteer organizations. And then you actually give a sample of how to ask the person the questions that you want to ask. And you say, ask them if it's all right if you tape it because you want to learn from them. This is finding those points of information that maybe you would never have considered. And what I liked more than anything else is to set up the time to meet with the person in person. None of this texting stuff, but face to face. Why is this so important? There's so many people might be maybe listening saying, oh, for heaven's sakes, it's texting. I don't have time. I'll use an email. We'll talk on the phone. Why is it so important to have face-to-face?
Well, it's a hard lesson I learned the hardest way. I guess I'm lucky because with all of the training over 35 years, I do have the ability to sense another person without actually having to be in the physical room to sense them. I can get a pretty good read on a person just by meditating and focusing on them, so forth and so on. And for the first 2 years of my practice of this work, it just didn't go anywhere. And I'm like, what's going on? This doesn't make any sense. And someone said, Sol, you got to be in the room. You got to be in front of people. They don't know you. They've never met you. Yeah, they can listen to you. They can read what you've written. But there's you being in the room. They've got to experience. So in this particular question, I said to myself, you know, in order to really make an impression on someone, first off, you've better done your homework before you find out who are they and go up and talk to them. I did my little bit of homework on you before I talked to you, a little bit, so that when I met you, I hope you sensed there was a familiarity.
It was very comfortable.
Ah, good. Now I'm in better position to say, Donna, would you be my teacher? When I'm standing in front of you and I ask you that question, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to go, you know, I'm really busy, I've got all the other things to do, la, 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 la.
I understand your perspective. That's true.
And for those
are you still with me?
For those who are just too afraid of approaching someone, the next time you're having a pity party, the next time you don't have enough money to pay whatever bill you're trying to pay, the next time you sit there and go, oh, God, that should be me, use that as your fire to go approach those people you need to talk to.
Something that I've found in the years, and it took me a while to learn this, is that people are just people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, sometimes if they're the rich and famous, they may have a number of guards at the door. But if there is that opportunity where you can walk up and chat with them, you find many times that there is no arrogance with the individual. There is a warmth and even caring on their part. They really would like to be able to have a conversation with you. And I think of someone telling me not too long ago, what people need to know is that they can offer someone a cup, you know, let me buy you a cup of coffee. You may not have a lot of money. But take time to visit with that individual. Respect their time, because if they are busy, you're not going to want to take 3, 4, 5, or 6 hours. But you may find there's an opportunity where when you're introduced, they may invite you to come into their space at another time, or they may have a class you can go to. There's just so many ways that this can be done. And one of the things I find, Sol, and I don't know if it's something you've experienced, but I am finding people are so hungry to have a level of communication, to be able to talk to someone. It's not enough to read and write, like you've said, but it's a one-on-one, a flesh and blood human being that will listen to you, but also share with you. Because no one has the cap on learning here. Nobody. You're always going to be in a learning curve.
Exactly. Exactly. Perspective, perspective, perspective. Having someone who is trained, just simply trained, first off to be, Donna, if you're not compassionate with yourself, find someone who is compassionate and learn that. If you're not gentle with yourself, find someone who's gentle with themselves first. We're so hard on each other, starting with ourselves, and that has to begin the thaw. And that connection that you talk about is more difficult if you're so jaded and so skeptic and so withdrawn. To get that connection that you're talking about is going to require a considerable amount of thawing on your part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a do-it-yourself job. There are no shortcuts. I've not found any. And you have to be awake.
Have
to be awake. Oh, I love it. Now, you have a chapter that addresses when are you worth it? Now, a lot of people say, oh, I don't know if I'll ever get there. Well, I don't know. Your word perspective is important. I like another word, too. It's become one of my favorites. It's discernment.
Yes.
And I think they are wonderful companions, P&D. perspective and discernment.
Yes.
We need to be able to recognize we have a right of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't go along and walk in the garbage dump of life and stay there. If you want to, that's okay. But you don't have to. And that can be mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. How can someone know when they're worth it? And I know you've got a lot of section in your book, so we're not going to be able to do very much on that. But just give us a tip or two.
Well, I'd like everyone to think about how we live in a day and age of PIN codes and passwords, right? How many PIN codes and passwords do you have that you have to deal with?
We won't go there. Thank you very much. No, thank you. Oh, boy.
Well, when it comes to, here are two yummy C words. We love words, and I'm glad we're having fun with these C words. Compliments and criticism. Compliments
mm-hmm.
and criticism. I think we're wired backwards when it comes to accepting compliments and criticisms. For example, that PIN code of self-esteem, that password of self-esteem, when someone pays another person a compliment, I watch more often than not, there's got to be all sorts of passwords put into place to receive that compliment. Am I worthy? Do I know this person? Who is this person? Am I having a good day today? There's all these various passcodes that got to go, yep, okay, yep, oh, good, now I can receive the compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, when someone provides a criticism, bam, right in. Bypasses all passcodes. It generally goes straight into a person's heart. Have you found that to be true?
Oh, yes. I have very vivid memories of that. It took me years in some instances from criticisms that were dumped on me when I was younger to recognize those words don't have any power. They're not me.
Exactly. For those listening in, your takeaway is I want you to flip-flop your passcodes. I want you to flip-flop your PIN codes. When a compliment comes along, like enjoying a fine sip of hot tea on a chilly day where it warms you inside, allow that compliment to seep in and nurture you with no questions, no passwords, no PIN codes. Conversely, when a compliment, to me, a compliment is the source of life, the source of us fulfilling a dream. When a criticism comes in, step back. Wait a minute. Put some passcodes in place. Put some PIN codes in place. Who is this person? What's their motive? You know, is it true or not? Put some perspective in there. Engage a coach. Engage someone who can engage a friend. Say what was said to you and ask, is this a valid criticism before you actually give it any time?
So, would you stay with me? We've got to take a break. Would you stay with me a few more minutes?
Of course.
All right. Soul Dancer is my guest today. We've touched on a number of points in his book, Pay Me What I'm Worth, a workbook to help you say it, mean it, and then get it. Who doesn't want that? Well, why don't we find out a little bit more about what Soul Dancer has to say? We're going to be talking about ethics and integrity, and I'm sure that you're like me. That is quite a significant issue. Why? Because we're seeing a lot of very prominent people not doing a very good job of example. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit more of that and some other good things to share with Soul Dancer. Pay me what I'm worth. What do you think you're worth? Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Soul Dancer is my guest. When he answers his phone, he answers it with, "Hi, this is Soul. Pay me what I'm worth." Well, let's find out about some more points in his publication. Soul, you have a word, two words that I like, mental laundry. Talk to us about mental laundry. How do we work with it? What do we do with it? And what is the point you're trying to get across?
There are two capacities that we have as human beings that play a fundamental role in our ability to learn, laugh, and grow: forgiveness and forgetfulness. Donna, which do you think of those two are more powerful?
Forgiveness or forgetfulness? Actually, I think that they both have a place. I don't know that I'd rate one above the other. Because in some instances, forgetfulness is appropriate. Some instances, it's not. Forgiveness, I think that's across the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In that chapter, what I'm going to invite you to do is get a hold of your mental laundry, specifically looking at times where you believe you've been used, taken advantage of, put in a position where, for all practical purposes, you would really rather have not been put in there. That's laundry basket A. And then we have laundry basket B. I'd like you to be real with yourself and reverse the process. When were there times where you know you did take advantage of someone? For example, you may have done something as simple as go to a yard sale, and somebody may have marked something $10, but because you have plenty of money and you know they probably want to get rid of it, you offered them $5 and they took it. Even though you had the 10 to pay them, you just decided you wanted to pay them 5. You took advantage of the situation that somebody wanted to have $10 and you could give them 5. So basket A, you've been taken advantage of. Basket B, you've taken advantage of someone else. That's your laundry. My goal with this chapter is for you to take a good, solid look at what goes around, comes around, or whatever good old cliche you want to use in there, and really wash out any sense of having to be used or get used by using forgiveness. And for me, forgiveness does not mean you forget. Forgiveness means you learn. You use discretion in your wisdom and how you apply it, so that when another time comes around where you think you're about to get used or you're thinking you might use someone, you kick into the results of what you experience with this chapter, and you go, whoa, wait a minute. No, I don't want to do that. I want to keep myself as clean as possible. And this really actually sets you up for a chapter we're just about to talk about.
Mm-hmm. That's ethics and integrity. This has become such a significant issue, I think, in the United States. When we research our history, this isn't the first time this has come up. And when we look at our own lives, we usually are challenged with this at one point or another. And I don't know that anybody can get through life without having lessons that maybe they've done some things, just as you were talking about, they weren't too proud of. And they make a point of choice about not doing that again. And that, I think, is what life is about, is growing into the greatness of our inner self. Ethics and integrity are a vital part of that. Trust is a vital part of that. Trust that people have in us is an extremely important part of that. You made a comment at the beginning of your chapter on ethics and integrity when it comes to saying what you do and then doing what you say. How well do your words align with your deeds? That is a powerful, powerful question. Powerful question. How did you make this a significant level of learning in your life?
It's called the law of attraction in my book. We've heard about that before. I'm sure you, everyone's thought of or heard about mm-hmm. the law of attraction. And to me, I don't know about you, Donna, but for me, when I start developing a relationship with another individual, and I can go to the bank with their word, when they say they're going to be somewhere at a specific date and time, they are. When they say that they're going to accomplish something for someone, and they do. In other words, their words actually match up with their deeds. I'm attracted to that. I like that. I want more people like that in my life, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. That is so important. That's vital.
So for those of you who are, you know, kind of wondering, how do I attract that type of person in my life? Well, what did we just say a few minutes ago? Kind of like there's no shortcuts. Guess what? Until your word matches your deed, it's going to be more difficult for you to attract other people who have their words match their deeds. Take a look around at your social circles right now. Are you demonstrating the skills, the traits? Are you living them? And if you are, you will naturally attract other people who have similar skills and traits. Yeah?
That's true. That's true. People of like mind enjoy each other's company.
And more importantly, and this is the sneaky part, this is the yummy sneaky part. It's like you get a vaccine. You know, you talk about you get your flu shot, so forth and so on. The more of integrity you walk your walk, the more ethics you have, the more you actually do what you say you're going to do, you bounce away. You repel people who might just want to try and take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that that is true. It doesn't mean you still can't be taken advantage of, but it's not as likely. And if they do, and they know that they've done that, they rarely will want to cross paths with you again because they know they'll be held accountable in a way. And they cannot show face. I think of different individuals that I've had experiences with through the years, and they purposefully stayed out of the environment because of the behavior they exhibited. They just didn't dare.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't dare because they knew that the truth was going to come out, so they would hide.
Yep.
And they would do things where they would skirt by, making sure that they were aware and away from different individuals that were not of that nature. They had violated the trust, and they mm-hmm. knew that. It's a fascinating thing. You make a comment in your book also that a wise person learns from what's reflected back to them, no matter how unpleasant. The more unpleasant, the more likely it is it's a lesson you really need to learn. And when that sort of comes full circle back to the component of criticism that you brought up earlier, we need to be able to look at something with clear eyes, because sometimes points will be brought out to us that if we're not willing to look at them and be honest and have integrity with ourselves, we're going to find that maybe we're repeating patterns we shouldn't repeat in our life. And I think that you're right. A very wise person listens carefully, both to the compliments as well as to suggestions and criticisms. It is just a part of living. And how dull and uninteresting life would be if we didn't get them. But part of it, I think, is developing a sense that we need to detach so we can look with our own level of integrity and honesty when someone does give us a criticism. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, and here's an interesting flip. If you're finding someone, you're finding that you're getting the same criticism over and over and over again and again and again from a variety of different places, has it ever occurred to you, you just might be the teacher to the person who's giving you the criticism, that that's something they need to work on because you've mastered it?
Good point. Very good perspective. Very good perspective. That is another side of the coin of understanding. I think that's marvelous.
And so it's so easy, Donna. It's so easy when a criticism comes in. You go, oh, God, I'm worthless, and I've got to go through this lesson again. And, oh, when am I going to be done with this lesson? And blah, blah, blah. Well, you can go down that path if you'd like. But you can also go, you know what, I have been down this path. And if you, again, adopt that gentle nature, that compassionate nature, and when you get the criticism, go, does this really apply to me, or is this something that's really their stuff? There's just a glorious book that I request every client and every student to read before I work with them. And I'm almost positive you've read this book as well. The Four Agreements?
It rings a bell. I may have read it, yes.
Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements. And one of the agreements is never take it personal. Never, ever take it personal. Because quite honestly, when someone gives me a criticism, the first thing I automatically click into, this is kind of my get out of jail free card, I don't know where this is coming from. Even though I may have been your partner for 50 years, there's still parts of you I don't know about. I don't know what just happened in your life. I don't know, you know, if somebody just cut you off in traffic or you were on the phone with a nasty customer service person, or I don't know what influenced you to bark at me. So I'm going to cut you some slack to begin with because there's an unknown there.
Mm-hmm.
I create that safe space to allow the criticism to float through. But if it is something that you in your inner gut goes, oh, God, yeah, I do have to deal with this. That's when you hire, Donna, that's when you hire a professional to get in there and look at that in a constructive, positive way.
Mm-hmm. And I like your words, constructive, positive way. I think so many times we need to be able to understand that as human beings, we're in this life experience to expand, to grow, to be able to develop our highest potential, and to be self-sufficient in our own way, and also to be a contributor to those that are coming along in life that are going to need what we've acquired in the way of wisdom and understanding. And I love what my mentor said to me so many years ago when we crossed paths and she chose to have me as a student. She would say, Donna, some people can only take a drop of understanding at a time. Some people can take a thimbleful. Some might be able to have a bucket or two, but there are few individuals that want to walk into the ocean. And I have found her words of wisdom to be very true. And we never know how we are going to be able to touch someone's life. We may never know their name even, but just by being who we are and be the best that we can be. And quoting the title of your book, Pay Me What I'm Worth, Attitude, Say It, Mean It, and Get It. we have an impact that makes this world a richer place. And Soul Dancer, you're doing that with your book. Now, you have two websites that people can go to. One is worthdoc.com, worth, W-R-R-T-H, doc.com, and paymewhatimworth.com. Soul Dancer, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Your workbook is delightful. I wish you continued success in all that you do.
My pleasure, Donna, my pleasure. And congratulations to all who are taking the steps that you need to take to do what you want to do. Aloha, everyone.
Aloha, Soul Dancer. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. My newsletter has gone out, and if you received the email, that's wonderful. If you would like to check on the newsletter, go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. It should be put up sometime today. And the editorial is titled, Don't Throw the Kettle Out. You're going to have to read it to find out more. Here's a listing of the guests that are going to be coming up next week. A little girl called Grace, Kelly Bader, is going to be with me. This is a very powerful story. This is a story about a woman who came up through a culture where girls had absolutely no rights. They were sold. This is really a very, very powerful story, but this woman has ended up being a very successful individual, and we'll be talking to Kelly about that on Monday. Moving, everybody is just either getting into the urge of straightening things out, maybe putting stuff in storage. If you're getting ready to move and you want to have some real good tips about how to do it so you don't have loss, well, we are going to be talking with the King of Moving, and it's going to be 75 great moving and storage tips. That's going to be coming up. Tron is going to be our guest. Biblical Beauty, Rochelle Weisberger. This woman I met in New York, and she has a marvelous book here where she goes into old documents to find out about what was it that women used, men too, to look good, feel good. I don't know of any generation that wanted to look ugly. So in today's world, what's the difference between the modern and the old? What is it that we can learn from the past? We're going to find out about that. Get thin, be happy. Brian Toter is going to be our guest next week. He has six easy steps. Nothing complicated, just six steps, and he guarantees that you can be trim, slim, healthy, feel great about yourself. And a week from today, Marilyn Fitzgerald, a lady who has traveled around the world, the third world countries, she's put together a book, If I Had a water buffalo. It's an amazing story, and we're going to be sharing that with her. And that and much more is coming up this month. All of the guests will be listed on bbsradio.com. We'll have all of the information up for you by the end of the day. So check it out, and just know that it's available to you. And by the way, if you have a book or if you know of someone that has a book or a material that they would like to have me consider for their being on the show, I mean, I usually have anywhere from 75 to 100 publications on my review table at a time. I'm always interested in the unique. I'm always interested in the unusual. And I sincerely appreciate those of you that have been sending me emails and sending me material that I've been able to share with in my newsletter and on the air. So thank you very, very much. I wanted to bring up some points here. One is because of our level of technology that we have, there's a whole different level of criminal activities that I think we need to be kept alert to. And every generation has these challenges. Why? Because that just seems to be the nature of certain personalities in life. They prefer the criminal behavior, and often you'll hear the statement, if they're so bright, why in the world don't they use it in a positive way instead of a negative? Well, sometimes we can't answer those questions. But you need to be alerted to something that has been coming forth in apparently a more dramatic way, and that is classified ad crimes. Now, this really is not new, but maybe you see a classified ad, it's a high-ticket item, and you need to be aware that the police departments across the country are finding that there is a significant, in fact, they use the word steep, rise in robberies by appointment. And this is the term that's used when you show up at a prearranged place to buy or sell an item and the other person makes off with your money or merchandise. Now, here are some tips. Very, very simple. Someone might say they're common sense, Donna. Well, yes and no. We have this factor about ourselves we like to trust, but there are those people that are not trustworthy, and they are out to scam you. So you need to listen. If you have a caller or an emailer that is focusing solely on setting up a time and place to meet, rather than discussing details about the item or its price, don't do business with them. Most people who buy or sell through classified ads, they want to learn more about the product. Also, they like to negotiate many times the price before they even meet with you. But the person that is of criminal intent will simply want to get you to the appointment, to the location. So don't be fooled if they say, oh, this is a safe area. You're going to meet in a nice neighborhood. The buyer or seller is going to be on the up and up. Not always. Criminals have discovered that many safe residential areas are literally empty during peak working hours. Is that logical? Absolutely. No, don't do that. Guess where the suggestion is that you should meet your potential buyer? Try the police station. Uh-huh. That's the truth. The police don't mind. The station usually is open 24/7, and they won't mind you doing a transaction in their lobby. In fact, the police like that. Now, this was a surprise to me. If your buyer or seller won't meet you there, then they're not serious, or they want to avoid having police officers nearby during the exchange. Think about it. You want to do it in a place that's public. I've had people say, meet the individual in the bank. Have someone at a bank be able, especially if it's a large transaction, so that the transaction can be checked financially. If you are working with a bank on a regular basis and tell them what you want to do, they don't mind if you come in, and they'll be happy to check to see if the amount of money that supposedly is to be given to you is actually available. So that's another suggestion. It was given to me many years ago. And above all, don't ever give out your personal information. If you're asked for your home address, whatever you do, don't give it to them. You want to not give them your personal address, period. Why? The information could be given to an accomplice who breaks into your house while you're meeting for the transaction. This is extremely important. And another thing, there's many, many places today on the Internet where your address will be listed. So you need to perhaps find out how you can work with that. But there's just so much going on today. We need to be alert and aware. Most people, in my estimation, are honest. But there are those, well, tiny percentages that can create a lot of havoc in one's life. So we need to be aware, especially if you have older people in your family. I think that it's really significant. I can remember my grandma when she turned 90, and this was a savvy woman. When she turned 90 years of age, her mind was sharp. However, with her vision wasn't so good. And she got into a situation where members of family had to help her out because she was shown certain papers and told certain things, but the papers were not what she thought they were. And believe it or not, it was a legal representative that was pulling this scam. Well, when the family members found out about it, and because she was mentally together, they were able to get it changed fast. And the person was going to be set up for legal prosecution. But my thought was, my goodness, how many other people had this legal representative perhaps defrauded in one way or another? Well, we're out of time. This is Donna Siebel. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. Have a delightfully wonderful and exciting weekend. And remember, always, you're the boss of your mind, your heart, and your spirit. Take good care of it. And as our guest said, be gentle with yourself. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.